Hello and welcome to this podcast, which is brought to you by Nedbank Retail Investments. My name is Angelique O'Day. I'm a personal finance journalist. And today I'll be chatting with Sisandile Dikido, who is the head of retail investments at Nedbank. We'll be talking about why we're all finding it so very difficult to save. I'm sure this is a topic that will resonate with many of you, as it does with me. Before we kick off, some context. Last month was National Savings Month, a time to reflect on the critical importance of saving, why we need to set savings goals, how and where to save, and how to overcome some of the barriers to saving. Now, we know full well what those barriers are, but in recent years, we've had some global challenges that are exacerbating the situation. And this is a dire time for South Africans. We've been in the grip of a global pandemic for more than 18 months, way longer than anyone predicted. And now there's talk of a fourth wave, just when we thought there was light at the end of this tunnel. Sisa, this doesn't bode well for us, does it? What does the fourth wave mean for South Africa? Can we expect unemployment to rise with more lockdowns and consequent layoffs in the services and tourism sectors? And, I mean, how can a person without an income save?
Hi, Angelique, and hello to the listeners. I think that's a very tough question, but it's a very real one. South Africa had many problems long before the COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent lockdowns. But we cannot deny the fact that the lockdowns have had a tragic impact on our economy and the unemployment levels, which are currently sitting at over 30%. So we've seen over 2 million jobs that have been lost because of these lockdowns. And we've seen individuals who've had to close up their businesses. I don't know about you and where you live, but in the Johannesburg area, I've seen a lot of individuals, more individuals on our street corners. And people who you can see had jobs not so long ago or were able to earn an income not so long ago. So I think the impact of these lockdowns, 100%, has been absolutely dire. But like I said, we had problems long before this. And I think the reason why our government and the financial sector rally around Savings Month is because, like I said, prior to the lockdowns and prior to COVID-19 and this rampage of a pandemic, we really didn't have our eye on the ball when it comes to saving. So I think as much as lockdowns and COVID-19 have impacted us negatively, we really just really need a reminder, hence conversations around Savings Month. And to your question around the fourth wave, I think the fourth wave is definitely going to have an additional negative impact. Experts and analysts predict that our economy will grow at 4% for this year. But that growth, as great as it sounds, is not necessarily real growth. It is growth that is compared to a negative 7% of 2020. We're also projected to grow 2% in 2022 and 1.6% in 2023. Which is the more realistic sort of growth in this country, all things considered, when it comes to our economy. So I think as much as the fourth wave will have an impact, it will also be slowed down, or rather the blow may be softened by the accelerated rollout of vaccines. And a lot of people like myself are getting our second jab very soon. So as we head for herd immunity, as much as there will be a fourth wave and it will have a negative impact, I don't foresee it being as tragic as, say, the last 18 months.
Absolutely, Sisa. Hopefully we've learned something from the past 18 months. One of those things I've learned as someone who was retrenched is a job, a regular income, is such an asset, and it's one that needs to be protected. And working with that income, that regular income, making it stretch and prioritizing saving is absolutely key. If only more people realized that to save is to pay yourself first, and having that savings cushion gives you this incredible advantage. But sadly, Sisa, we know that we have this notoriously low savings rate in South Africa compared to the global average. Before I ask you why this is, I do want to just satisfy my own curiosity and find out from you, does this dismal savings rate include the billions of rands held in stock fills? It's something I've always wondered. Or is it based on bank deposits and formal investments only? Because my hunch is that we're perhaps not as bad at saving as the financial services industry would have us believe.
So Angelique, absolutely. Your hunch is somewhat correct. I say somewhat because, to your point, the stats speak to what has been recorded in formal savings vehicles. So bank deposits, investments that are in formalized sort of structures, right? But we know that a lot of the 50 billion that circulates in stockfiles is either under mattresses or circulating within stockfile communities or saved under individuals' names. So you and myself and Sarah, whoever she is, are in a stockfile. We take the money and we put it under your name, right? And it's not necessarily registered as a stockfile savings. So 100% correct. I think some of that sort of recorded savings culture does include stockfiles, but a lot doesn't, because a lot of those funds also sit in with undertakers, for instance, because as we know, stockfiles are predominantly grocery and burial stockfiles. I think 60% of the stockfile market is split into grocery and burial stockfiles. And a lot of those burial stockfiles remove that risk from themselves by taking those and for lack of a better word, I'll call them premiums or their contributions to an undertaker who then puts money away with either an insurer or has a sort of self-insurance pooling system. And that money is not necessarily recorded in a formal banking system because it doesn't really sort of get banked by the individuals. So I think definitely, as much as stockfile savings may be recorded in the formal sort of statistics, a lot of that money is still circulating in sort of the non-formal sector or informal sector.
Okay, thank you. So we're not quite as bad as we appear to be at saving, but there's lots of room for improvement. My concern is around this weak recovery in the economy and the expectation then on us to save. How does one save in an environment like this, in a context such as this?
It does seem almost impossible, doesn't it? But I think you made an amazing point earlier, which I absolutely agree with, that your salary has become more of the golden egg and has become, if you believe in blessings, more of a blessing now than ever. So having a stable income that has not necessarily been affected by restrictions and lockdowns in the form of either being retrenched, like you'd mentioned about yourself, or having to take a salary cut, or having to take care of family members who have been impacted, you are in a very positive position in this country. And therefore, you owe it to yourself, to your point again earlier, to pay your future self first. As we've seen in the last 18 months, that the rainy day is no longer this proverbial thing that we think of or we speak about when we're around family braais while we go shopping and swipe away. The proverbial rainy day really came and nobody saw it coming. Now, not analysts, not economists, not, I don't even think the prophets saw it. So I think we're in a position now of power where we know how something like a pandemic can really affect our savings and our earnings. And we really do owe it to ourselves to take a little bit and put it away for one day when we're not in the exact same position that we're in. So I think where you are able to earn an income 100%, please, I think you owe it to yourself. And on the opposite side, we see low income earners or people who don't necessarily earn formal incomes. People who make magwinya on the street or sell amakota. I had the pleasure of meeting some township entrepreneurs a few weeks ago. One lady makes amagwinya, like I'm saying, and one guy makes ikota. And I don't know if everyone listening knows what ikota is, but it's basically the bottom end of your bread, so the crusty side of your bread. They cut it up, they open that, they take out the doughy part, the bready part, and they fill it up with everything, all things lovely, everything that you shouldn't eat if you're trying to not have cholesterol. But it's absolutely divine. So chips, cheese, rations, burger, anything you can think of goes in there, and it's absolutely amazing. And this gentleman makes something like 40,000 rand a week. So we have an economy in the township that where people are turning over anything from 1,000 to 40,000 rand or 10,000 rand within a couple of square meter radius. So as much as those individuals don't have formalized incomes, those individuals are making a way and earning incomes. And I think what I've seen, which I think is very powerful, is that a lot of low-income earners or informal income earners are far more aware of the need to save because they cannot rely on the formalized credit system to access funds when they need funds. So I think saving saving is more of a psychology than it is the ability because you earn more or because you earn formally at all.
Wow, Sisa, I am totally in the wrong line of business. We used to call those things bunny chow when I was growing up, or from KZN, coming from KZN, bunny chow is what we called it. And who knew that you could make such a killing selling bunny chow? How wonderful. I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Sisa, so back to our savings rate. Savings have grown between Feb 2020 and Feb 2021 by 3.36%. And I'm wondering, how is this possible? Is it people like me dumping their retirement nest egg in an RA or a preservation fund? Does that account for that spike in savings? Or is it people getting the wake-up call, as you were speaking about the critical importance of an emergency fund has just become, it's come to the front and center now? Can you explain to us this, what appears to be an anomaly?
So, Angelique, I think it's a myriad of different reasons. You're correct in saying some individuals who were retrenched took their retrenchment packages and put them away in some or other savings vehicle. But a lot of people who got retrenched actually didn't, because they couldn't. They needed to pay for mortgages, they needed to pay for school fees, etc. Or they bought shoes, which is extremely tragic. Because I think we're different in the way we approach money. Some people feel like, I'm probably going to get another job. I've got another 40 years of working. Why not just splash out? But I think in addition to that, we've seen a rise in the side hustle. So I've spoken to so many people who say, you know, because I work from home now, or I have reduced hours at work, I've got this extra time that I now plow into my home industry or home sort of business, where I'm making things and I'm selling them online. I actually have a cousin of mine who has expanded her kids' sort of party entertainment business that she rolls out between Fridays and Sundays. I've got friends who started cooking in their kitchens and selling food within their complexes or neighborhoods. So there's really been a sort of a rise of this additional enterprise because of either the time or really needing to earn more money. And a lot of those small-time business owners or side hustle owners are plowing those funds back into their businesses and reinvesting that money. In addition to that, to your other point, is that front and center now is we have to save. We've got to put some money away. And I think outside of any pandemics, people are far more aware that, you know, you don't want to be in a position where you have additional or you're in excess of credit when you don't need it. So individuals are far more aware that instead of taking money out of my credit card or taking a personal loan to replace my tires, I'm actually going to put a little bit of money away and save for that. So save for that eventuality or whatever it is it may be. So I think people are very aware that we need to save. There are side hustles, like I said, and some people have had the ability to have access to lump sums that they can put away. In addition to that, we've seen in the beginning of the hard lockdowns and the pandemic, a lot of people took their money out of the system. They took money out of banks and they were panicking because no one knew if we needed to buy things or not, and there was the panic buying, etc. And things sort of normalized, and by normal, this new normal that's really abnormal. And people are realizing, okay, maybe I'm not going to die in 30 days. Let me take this money and put it back. So there's that bit. And lastly, I'd say there's individuals who are fortunate enough who have not had their salaries or incomes impacted negatively, who in fact are saving money. I was one of those people who at the beginning of the pandemic, I took out a 3-month bank statement and I had a look at what I'd been spending money on. So whether it's your Uber trips, which I couldn't take at the time, whether it was takeout, which I couldn't buy at the time. For me, one of the biggest tragedies was not being able to buy Woolies chicken. But, you know, I saved that Woolies chicken money because when it came back, I was like, yes, Woolies chicken is back. So I think a lot of things like going out as well. I'm one of the people who's also very freaked out about being out in restaurants, and I'm not going out as often. I'm not buying presents as often in terms of the birthday gifts, etc. So I'm saving and I'm looking at what are the little things that I can do. I canceled, for instance, cell phone contracts because now I'm at home and I'm on Wi-Fi and I use WhatsApp calls instead of voice calls, etc. And I see a lot of that happening where people are reevaluating their financial expenditure to see where they can save. And I think that has really had an impact, which has been positive in terms of our savings rate.
Much of what you say resonates with me, Sisa. Thank you. Sisandile Sikido, the head of retail investments at Nedbank, thank you for your insights today. The pandemic has certainly presented opportunities for some of us. It's not some of us for six. But one of those encouraging things is the rise of the side hustle. I think that's deserving of a separate conversation altogether. So, yeah, on one hand, while unemployment numbers are sobering, on the other hand, the increase in savings rates is encouraging, something to be celebrated. More encouraging to me is the resilience of us as a people. We will push through this pandemic. It's a dire time to save, but we are a people who are fighting back and we're hungry for knowledge. So thank you, Nedbank, for these conversations. They do help increase our awareness and our understanding of the world of money. Thank you, Cesar.
Thank you, Angelique, and thank you to the listeners.